Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose here on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a difference in the world, and through that, we'll explore many important aspects and areas in life, including spiritual, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and many other topics. And our broadcast team so far consists of Michael Collins, Taylor Tagg, Tom Too Tall Cunningham, Ray Stendell, Tracy Montgomery, and myself. My name is Dave Yablecki. And our broadcast team here at Journey to Success Radio share a common trait in that we all follow Napoleon Hill's 17 Principles to Success. And information about our broadcast team can be found on our website, which is www.healthyinbodyandmind.com. And today I'm excited and honored to once again feature Kimberly Switzgable, John Scheifel, the owner and vice president, respectively, of Capriol Productions Incorporated, along with television reporter Debbie Gallo, who's the newest addition to the Capriol team. Good morning, you guys, and welcome back to Journey to Success Radio. How are you today?
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Kimberly, to have you all three again. And Kimberly and Debbie, in that last interview we did, we talked about the tragic plight of the street kids in Brazil in the favelas, and I'd really like to dive into that in greater detail today. Because I was just reading an article recently about how the city of Rio is really pushing a campaign to pacify and clean up the favelas ahead of the World Cup soccer tournament that's coming there in 2014. Now, my instincts tell me that this, you know, the timing of this seems somewhat opportunistic. And I think it sounds to me like it's just a political face-saving attempt. So what's the true story here? Who really benefits from all this cleanup and pacification, and why?
Well, I would say the people who benefit are the wealthy merchants and the people that are coming to watch the World Cup and the papal visit and then the 2016 Olympics. But in reality, it's, you know, that's just a small number of people that are being helped to get richer, and it's the poor that are getting poorer there, and it's not uncommon. This has been going on for years, where the Brazilian government has gone in and bulldozed down the favelas, and in the late 80s, early 90s, the government went in. Police, the paramilitary police went in and gunned down, you know, hundreds of people in the favelas in Rio and Sao Paulo, and there was a ton of outrage, and they stopped doing it for a while. But they have no real no long-term solution to help within the favelas. And the term favela comes from the term Morro do Favela, which means mountain of thorny bushes, which is a bush that grows in Salvador. And in the 1800s, they had a civil war, and the soldiers that fought in that war were eventually dumped in Rio de Janeiro in the slums, and they renamed the slums Morro do Favela. So that's how the favela got, that's where the term favela comes from. But in reality, long term, nobody really benefits from the government going in and doing what they're doing, because there's more kids on the street than in any other South American country. It's really a disaster down there. And once it's cleaned up, it'll be cleaned up temporarily, but then all the drug lords and everybody else are going to come back in after the Olympics. I mean, it's just a stopgap measure for the government, and they don't have any, as far as I can see, there are no further plans on how to resolve the issues that are going on there.
Yeah. So it's just like a temporary band-aid approach.
Yes, yes. I don't think they've really looked into how to resolve the problems. And, you know, you got to remember Brazil was under a dictatorship until the late 80s. And so they've had tons of problems down there for years and years and years. And, you know, they have a lot of natural resources. It's a very wealthy country. It's a really beautiful country, and they've just kind of based their income or image on tourism. But they have a huge amount of natural resources down there that they could be training people how to go in and do the jobs that nobody else wants. And it's a lot like America was 100 years ago. There's tons of stuff that they could be implementing to help the, you know, the people out that are don't have an education.
Mm-hmm. John, I want to switch over to you for the next question. This problem with the favelas in Rio, is that a problem in other countries in South America?
Well, Dave, great question, by the way. Yeah, it really is, and here's why. The politics of Brazil are endorsed by the Congress of the United States, a different form. But in all other South American countries, the politics takes on a new meaning. And what I mean by that is, let's give an example. For example, in Colombia, they have rebel groups. The rebel group's agenda is to do only one thing, and that is to displace the democratic government. So, let me explain further about that. I mentioned in Brazil and the U.S., the politics driving the FPP, Favela Pacification Project, and its paramilitary enforcement arm, the UPP. I also mentioned that it had gone from Brazil's highly professional federal and military all-season pros to Rio and countrywide local jurisdictions. The problem is the lack of systemic state-to-state consistency, leading to, thus, illegal killings of innocents. Now, I'm not just talking about children. I'm talking about innocent mayors of the favelas, adults, etc., business owners, yada, yada. So, in Colombia, for example, it is a politics of a different nature. That is, yes, there is sex trafficking of children, and its only agenda is to hold Colombia's 90% honest troops hostage and to ensure, once again, that they receive monies for fully automatic weapons and their particular rebel cause. It's a cause issue, a political cause. Hence, Brazil is not a cause, in a sense. In Colombia, however, it's a rebel cause, much like what occurred in Cuba.
And Kimberly, what's the best way to solve this problem, you know, on a national basis rather than just going in and bulldozing them only to have them pop up 2 or 3 weeks later?
Well, I think that the government and other non-governmental agencies have got to step in, like what Hope Unlimited for Children has done. And they've been down there for 20 years, and they have found that educating the children and giving them a job skill they have an 85% success rate of keeping these kids off the streets and becoming productive citizens. So education, not only learning how to read and write, but they need to teach the families about birth control. Brazil is one of the largest Catholic countries in the world, and with that, they do not use birth control. So you have an incredible problem with too many kids down there, and they have 500,000 girls sold into prostitution by their family members every year. So they're not taught about safe sex or pregnancy prevention, and I believe that they have to be taught about if they're going to have sex, to have safe sex and not pop out kids, because 80% or 85% of the families in the favelas are single parent homes. So and they have 5, 6, 7 kids, and it's like from three or from a husband or a boyfriend, or or the mother's been raped, or the mother may have been a prostitute at one point. And it's, I think the education is the biggest key to reforming what's going on down there, and to get help for the kids that get addicted to. A lot of these kids, the cheap high is sniffing glue. So, they really, really need a good form of education down there. Now, some of the kids that have graduated from Hope Unlimited, they're doing stuff on their own, like going back into the favelas and starting one-room classrooms within the favelas, but it needs to be done on a much larger scale. And I think that they can do this, with government help and have workforce programs set up to help people. There's still going to be problems, like anywhere, any other country, there's going to be problems, but I think that is the way they're going to resolve the problem of so many kids on the streets.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you're saying that the best way is for there to be a collaboration between government and private nonprofit organizations, the government to pass legislation, child protection laws and enforce health codes, and then nonprofits to provide the education and tools and resources for these people, poverty.
Kids. Yeah, but the government, David, just so you know, the government is kind of wacky in some ways, because at one time the age of consent, the legal age was 18, and then it went down to 12, and then they've gone back to age. Now it's age 14. Debbie can touch on this, but it's really kind of nutty, because they went from one end of the spectrum of trying to help kids out to the other end, and they've gone way overboard and giving these kids way too many rights. And it's harmed them because basically, what 14-year-old is going to be able to consent to anything? I mean, they don't know how to. They just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kids at 18 can't half the time. I've found that this generation is a lot more naive than we were,
mm-hmm.
And it's made it very difficult for everything, for what's going on there. But the government's got to step in, and the legal age should be put back to 18. And, I think that would also help a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure it definitely would. And Debbie, Kim mentioned that you have some information on this age of consent issue.
Well, yeah, when Kim and John asked me to join up on their documentary, City of Hope, I said, of course, my background is a reporter, but I was really overwhelmed by all of the information. I mean, Kim has been researching this for 20 years, and I just jumped on. So I was doing some research and looking for something that as a reporter, I could really sink my teeth into something that would say to me, oh, I get it. And what I found was an article from The Economist published this spring. And what it said was that the highest court in Brazil has reversed a ruling. And what it said was a man who had sex with three 12-year-old girls 10 years ago, back when the age of consent was 12, committed no crime because the children worked as prostitutes, and the mother of one of the girls had said that the daughter often missed school to join the others in town to be a prostitute. And so the judges said, well, the fact that she worked as a prostitute, we're talking about a 12-year-old girl, showed that she was far from innocent, she was far from naive, she was far from ignorant, she was ill-informed about sexual matters. That doesn't even apply. So the judges said, well, because the girls worked as prostitutes, it's not really rape. So you have Brazil's highest court saying, because the girls are already prostitutes, don't worry about it, it's not rape. Even though they're 12, and the age of consent was 12 at the time, it's okay to rape a girl who works as a prostitute because she couldn't have been that innocent anyway. Now, to me, that's just abominable. I mean, I'm not even a mother, and that outrages me. Because that's somebody's daughter, that's somebody's sister, that's somebody's cousin. And for a court to say that it's okay to have sex with a 12-year-old, and now the age of consent is 14, it's okay to have sex with a 14-year-old girl who works as a prostitute because, well, she's a prostitute. She doesn't matter. Really?
Yeah. Exactly.
Would you treat a street animal that way? I mean, the age of consent in the United States is 16, and we think it's an outrage when a teacher has sex, let's say, with a 15-year-old student, and they say, oh, it's consensual. And then the court says, oh, really? You're going to jail for having underage sex. It's just, it's abominable. And what the court is really saying is that once a child has been brutalized, then somehow they're free to make their own choices. And so really, if you're a prostitute and you're 12, you're 14, the age of consent is 14, you can't be raped. You're a prostitute anyway. So let's move on to something else. That's outrageous. I want to know what planet that's acceptable on. This is not acceptable on my planet. And that's part of the reason why we're making this documentary, is to let people know, look, this really happens. And the age of consent in Brazil, back in the dictatorship days, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, was 12. Then, as Kimberly said, it went up to 18. Now it's back down to 14. So who's moving forward and who's moving backwards?
Yeah, I personally think that's reprehensible, especially in a country that's got such a strong Catholic population. Like, doesn't the church do anything to help these people?
The church actually does a little bit. They have orphanages, but, you know, I think their hands are kind of tied to a certain extent. And, you know, in the church in Rome, really, they've had so many problems. Not that this is an excuse. You know, I'm not trying to make an excuse for them, but they've had so many issues, and they've always, for years, you know, in this country, they've turned a blind eye. So, and that's what they've done there. And on every street corner in Brazil, there's a Catholic church on one corner and a voodoo shop on the other corner. So, you know, it's a weird dichotomy there because it's you know, they're getting all of these mixed messages on what's going on. You can walk into any Catholic church in Brazil, and the amount of gold that's up on that church, in each church, they could take that gold down and redo stuff. They could, you know, feed, you know, thousands of kids and set programs up, you know, but they're not going to do it because they don't think that, you know, that was put up so many years ago. They're not going to, you know, in some ways they don't care.
Oh, it's the same exact way in Rome. when I lived in Rome, I was sharing this with Kimberly, when you went to Vatican City, which is technically its own country, you've never seen so much gold and 20 different colors of marble that you didn't even know exist in one area. And yet you've got street beggars sitting outside what's literally the limits, the country limits, which puts you back in Roma, and gypsies and homeless people. And, you know, the gypsies in Rome are not too much different than the street kids in Brazil, I mean, in terms of being forced into prostitution and drugs and whatnot. And yet St. Peter's Basilica is worse. I don't know. I just know I've never seen 3 shades of pink marble and 5 shades of green marble in my life. And yet there are homeless people living, begging at the streets of the Basilica until they get thrown away by the Swiss Guards. So it's, you know, the church is about money.
Mm-hmm.
The church is not necessarily always about serving people.
Now,
that's been my experience.
Yeah, and it's somewhat hypocritical to have so much wealth and preach Christian values and yet to have street people and homeless people right next door to you and do nothing to help them.
It is. Now, it's very hypocritical. But, you know, there are some Catholic or you know, I don't want to put a bad light on all of the Catholic organizations because there are some, you know, doing something, but it's not, to me, it's not enough.
Well, and again,
now Dave, just a quick aside, I've been to the Vatican, I've been to the Sistine Chapel, I've smelled the odor of the paint from Michelangelo, etc. What Debbie says is totally correct. And by the way, in both Brazil's churches and Rome's churches, we're talking solid gold. We're not talking plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure it's they've got untold limits of wealth there. But I guess there's only so much they can do when the government itself is, you know, doing nothing to enforce legislation to protect these poor victimized kids.
That's true. I mean, it's, you know, unless you're getting help back from the government, you know, it's like here in this country, you know, you've got to be careful how you do things and with what you're setting up for kids and, you know, are you going to get accused of something if you hug a kid? And so it's a very fine line that they're walking. But I think there is hope. And for people to be able to get down there and help. And there are plenty of Christian organizations that go down and, you know, volunteer, especially at Hope Unlimited, to get help that, you know, with the kids and get stuff going and get stuff off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a long process, as you know. No, nothing happens overnight. And all I ask of people is, you know, if they can't donate money, is to try and go down on a vacation and volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
At whatever place that they feel, you know, they can do the research to see which place they are really interested in to go and help. Because that's the way, if there's enough of an outcry, that's how things will change.
Right.
For the kids there.
Yeah. Now, John, I want to switch back to you for a second. On your Caprio website, there's a mention of 2 other people that are working alongside you with this documentary, City of Hope, A Children's Story. And that's British singer-songwriter Dar Raw and Yolanda Skripka. What exactly are they doing regarding your documentary?
Well, one day I received an email from Dara. He had seen our stuff on a power business group, so to speak, on our personal site. And noticed I was in film and required what I consider him to be and that is a genius composer. He contacted me via Skype. He called while Kimberly was sitting there next to me, and she described our requirements, what our requirements had to be. 3 days later, he's got an acoustical version completed, and he sings it. And it knocked me over almost. He called his song City of Hope. Now, Yolanda, many months later, shot me an email and submitted a poem, which is also called City of Hope. I put both Del Ra's lyrics and her poem side by side. They exactly synergized. Now, Yolanda Skripka immigrated decades ago from Romania and is a globally renowned poet and lives in San Diego, California. Mm-hmm. At the time, she was with San Diego's Scripps University, a top flight school. She is now engaged her affiliation to a university in Budapest.
She's a brilliant writer. Absolutely brilliant writer. So we're very blessed that she came up with this poem. And everybody that has read it, you know, it has brought them to tears. So, you know, we're really blessed that she came along, and so did Dar, because the two of them, both of them, hit the nail on the head with what they've done for us.
And my core point is this: it was like manna dropped from heaven. I didn't seek Dar Ra out, nor did I seek Yolanda out. They just fell into me.
Yeah.
And it was remarkable.
Yeah, it's amazingly fortuitous when people with this similar hopes and goals come together like that. I think that's amazing.
And nor did she know the name of Dar's song, along with a guy Denning, his tech guy, that mixes stuff. She had no clue it was also called City Hope.
Yeah, that's an amazing coincidence.
Go figure that. I mean,
yeah.
I can't figure it.
Well,
there is a God in heaven.
Well, you know, when things like that happen, it just shows that it was meant to be.
That's true.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Absolutely.
I suppose you're right.
Now, in the couple of minutes that we have left, do any of you have any final comments that you'd like to add?
Debbie, do you want to add anything?
Well, yeah, just one thing, one fact that I came across of, and you have to take this statistic with a grain of salt because this is what we know, what's been published, that every year, 500,000 girls in Brazil are forced into prostitution. Those are the numbers that we know. Those are the girls that we know about. 500,000 girls are forced into prostitution every year. That's about one child a minute. So we've been on the phone for 30 minutes. That's 30 girls who are now prostitutes, who know no better, who have nothing to say. They can't say no. They don't have the right to say no. That's pretty horrific. I mean, that would make me cry.
Yeah, I think that would bother anybody that's got any sort of a conscience.
Yeah, it's very. I used to teach horseback riding to inner city kids from Trenton, and the woman I worked with, David, she had asked about the film, and I relayed a story because not only is there 500,000 kids being sold into prostitution, but there's also a huge problem with incest, and they don't even know what the numbers were. And I told her a story about that the because the legal age of consent is 14. That even if, a lot of times the government officials will say, oh, well, just wait till she's 14 and then we don't have to do anything about the perpetrator. And I relayed this story to the woman I was working with, and she basically said to me, it serves them right, and who cares? And this was a woman that was working with children with me. And I just had to turn around and walk away and say, listen, I can't help anymore. Because this is part of the problem, not only here but in Brazil, because people just don't care. If it's not happening to them, or happening to their kids, there's a huge problem with incest in this country, but they've gotten it. There's laws now to protect kids. Families would be outraged, have been outraged here. About incest, and about being forced into prostitution, but nobody seems to care about these kids in Brazil. Because it's like, I get a lot from people saying, well, why do you care what happens to these kids? Mm-hmm. And my answer is, well, we should care about what happens to kids everywhere, not just here. At least in this country, there are. Systems set up to protect the children here. They may not be great all the time. Kids may fall through the cracks, but there is a halfway decent system set up to help the kids here in this country. There is nothing set up to help the children in Brazil at all.
Well, that's the crux of the problem right there is, the government takes a blind eye or does nothing about it, so that's where individuals such as yourself and private organizations have to step in
to deal with what's going on. And I am a true believer that if you take the action and put your mind to it, you can help anybody that you choose to help.
Yeah,
and make a difference in their world.
That's certainly true. Well, Kimberly, John, and Debbie, our time is up for today. So I want to.
May I just, for 10 seconds, mention one or two points?
Sure, go ahead.
This is the most egregious thing I've ever encountered. It's about my own, in fact, personal redemption. Now, the other thing is this. If people in this country want to feel that way, my first thing I say to them is, God bless you. I'll pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in Africa, go to Africa. If you're a flying doctor, go to Africa. Go to the Congo. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have to say.
Well, that's a very valid point. Go wherever your heart leads you.
And that's the best.
It chooses you, Dave. You don't choose it. And I sure as heck never chose this. I had no clue when I retired at the age of 53, that I would be involved in this stuff. None.
Yeah, it's amazing how things turn out sometimes. You just never know what's going to happen, and you just have to go on faith and run with it.
Yep, that's true. And John and I, like Debbie, we don't have children. So it's something that's really horrible that's going on. I think between the incest and the you know, these kids being sold into prostitution is so outrageously bad that I think that that's, you know, when you look at the numbers, it's very disturbing, extremely disturbing. And I think that that gets all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, our time's up for today, so I want to thank you all for appearing on our show today, and I really admire what you all are doing, and you and your company, Caprio Productions, what you're all doing to try to change things around for these poor victimized children.
Well, we appreciate it.
I hope also, Dave, that we can involve you in the October press only, so to speak, funding event we're having.
I'd be honored to help out in any way I can.
You bet.
Well, we'll let you know what's going on with that. So.
Yeah, well, thanks again for being on the show today, and you all take care, and God bless.
You too.
Thanks
Same
for
to
having
you.
Us. Thanks, Dave.
Right, thanks.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
You as well.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Ciao.
Ciao.